You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
We're going to jump into the message today. We're continuing our series through the Gospel of John called Why Jesus. And through the month of January, Pastor Paul kind of camped on an idea through John chapter 8 and kind of subtitled our series Fully Devoted. Why Jesus? What does it look like to live as a fully devoted follower? And it really comes from a passage of scripture in John chapter 8 where Jesus says these words, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many are thankful for freedom that is found only in Christ? And I'm thankful for freedom that is found in Christ. He goes on and says these words. Later in John chapter 8, he says these words, "So the Son sets you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." I don't know what you've walked in with today, but I can definitely bet that we all have something we would love to be free from. We all have something that plagues us. We all have a sin that has held us hostage or captive. What is it for you? Maybe for you today, it's alcohol. It started off as just one or two drinks, but now you find yourself every single day drinking alcohol. You become an alcoholic. You don't want to admit it, but that's really what's happened. Maybe for you, you're bound to a substance. You're smoking something that you shouldn't smoke. You're popping something that you shouldn't pop. You're abusing a substance that you should not be taking. You don't have to look very far around this room. Probably one out of three or four people here in this room are probably sexually addicted to something. You're looking at something on the internet that you should not be looking at. You're cheating on your spouse. You have thoughts of leaving your marriage. You're engaging in sexual activity outside of the confines of marriage. As innocent as it may seem, some of you, your addiction today is to your phones and social media. You can't even have a conversation with somebody without rubbing on your phone. And one of these days, your thumb's going to fall off because you're just rubbing so hard on that phone. But the truth is, really, you're addicted to your phone, and it's caused you this deep, dark depression because you're living this battle of comparison. Because you see everybody else's highlight reels while you know you're behind the scenes. And you've gotten on social media, or you've gotten on your phone, and you see what everybody else has, and you're upset what everybody else has. And so you're living this life of comparison. Hey, let me just remind you, it's really hard to live a joy-filled life. It's really hard to live your full life that Jesus has if you're constantly looking in the lanes of other people and how they're living their life. And so maybe that's where you found yourself today. I don't know where you have found yourself today, but I guarantee we all have something in our life that is bound to us, whether we admit it or not. And it could be some gigantic sin in our mind or just some little annoying thing that everybody knows about us. But here's what I want to do today. I want to let God's word speak directly to us. And we're going to jump to a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, if you have your Bibles this morning. This is what Paul says. It's such powerful truth that he packs in just a couple of verses. Here's what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. He says, "If you think you're standing firm, be very careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Here's the good news. I want everybody to say it with me. Our God is what? Our God is? Oh, that was weak this morning. Come on, one more time. Act like you believe it. Our God is what? Even when we are faithless, our God is faithful. He will always provide a way out. When you are tempted, and all of us will be, Scripture says he will always provide a way out. Every single time you are tempted to do something that could be harmful to you, harmful to others, disobey the heart of God, there is always a way out. It's a simple definition. If you're asking this morning, what is temptation? I define temptation this way. Temptation is this: anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that provides satisfaction. You're gonna like this. This is gonna make you feel good. It's just gonna help you relax. It's gonna spice up your relationships. It promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. And what happens, scientists will actually tell you, is that when you give in to whatever the temptation is, oftentimes your brain releases a little chemical called dopamine. It gives you a hit, it gives you a buzz, it gives you a thrill. You want it, so you make that purchase even though you don't have that money and you're massively living in debt. You want to take a look even though you know God's calling you to live in purity, and so you take a look and lust anyways. You want to say it because it'll make you feel so good to finally rage on that person in work and spew out all your anger, and so you let it all out at work. Your brain rewards you for a moment with this hit of dopamine, this thrill, this rush, and you know what follows after? Regret, remorse, guilt, and shame. I feel so bad about that. I should never have done that. I can't believe I let myself fall into that same pattern again. Many of you know that cycle this morning. What is temptation? It's anything that promises satisfaction. You're gonna like this. You need this. This is gonna be great at the cost of obedience to God. And here's what I wanna do in today's message. I'll make it really, really simple for you as we just build upon this thought of overcoming temptation. And from John chapter 8, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And God's plan and God's will for us is to be free and to live in freedom, not to just inherit eternal life with Jesus one day and have a perfect life there, but to live a life free and on purpose today, right here, right now on earth. I wanna give you four truths about how we battle temptation on this Super Bowl Sunday, where professional athletes will be playing the game of their life. How are you doing at playing the game of your life? Are you winning the victories when it comes to the battles of temptation? Four truths. Here's the first truth that you need to embrace. It is not a sin to be tempted. Truth number one, it is not a sin to be tempted. Hebrews 4:15, here's what it says. It says these words, "For we do not have a high priest as Jesus who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one Jesus who has been tempted in every single way, yet he did not sin." I see this example in Luke chapter 4, verses 2. Jesus is going on a fast for 40 days and he leaves. He's not eating food and he leaves. And the enemy comes to try to tempt him. And the scripture says this, he was tempted in every single way that we are. Tempted with lust, tempted with anger, tempted with resentment, tempted with bitterness, tempted with comparison, yet he did not sin. In other words, Jesus was tempted in every single way we have been tempted in our lives, yet he remained above reproach, yet he still did not sin. You have to understand this because our spiritual enemy is really crafty and our spiritual enemy is really sly, and he'll use what's called false guilt to make us feel guilty when we shouldn't even feel guilty. I'll illustrate it for you this way this morning. For example, let's just say you're a guy or a girl, and you're really trying to honor God with living in purity this year in 2020. You want to live pure. You want to live above reproach. You live the words of what David is saying in Psalms when he says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman." And you say, I want to make that my mission. I really want to live in purity in 2020. Let's just say, you know, you're a lady one day, you're driving your car, it's a nice summer day, right? Summer's coming, looking forward to that. And a strong, muscular guy has his shirt off and is running outside. Is it a sin that you saw that guy just like that? The answer is no. Here's where it becomes a sin. When you start to look back in the mirror a couple times, ooh, that was looking kind of nice, you know what I'm saying? When you start dwelling on that, when you start thinking on it, when you start playing it over your mind, when you start lusting, that's when it becomes a sin. And see what the enemy loves to do. He's really, really good about this. He loves to make us guilty even when we have not yet sinned. Why? Because when we feel guilty, we medicate our guilt with even more sin. Right? Those who are on a diet, you cheat one time and you're like, "Oh, I just ruined it. I lost it all. Might as well eat a whole bag of Doritos. I'm already in it," right? We medicate our guilt with sin. And the enemy is so crafty, he's so smart. He knows that if he can get us to even just feel bad, even while we're being tempted, we are more prone to live in that guilt and live in that shame, thus leading us to fall into sin even more. When those moments happen, instead of saying, I feel bad, you know what we have to do? We have to declare that as a narrow victory. We did not give in to sin. We did not bow to the enemy's plan. We stood against them. Now listen to me. Listen really clear. If you're struggling with lust, you're struggling with living pure, don't be alone at night watching R-rated movies, setting yourself up for disaster, right? Don't be alone at night surfing the internet on websites that are inappropriate. That's what you're struggling with, right? For me, let me just be really honest and fully transparent with you. In this last year, I'll just call it what it is. I struggled with the sin of gluttony. I just ate way too much and just gorged myself. It's amazing what happens if you start eating healthy and stay within your guidelines and, I don't know, work out for 30 minutes a day, right? It's like, man, God, let me treat my body actually like a temple, like your word says. For me, it would not be smart if I'm trying to live on a diet and honor God with my buddy to show up in the Krispy Kreme parking lot and just hang out there when I'm hungry, right? Declare what is a narrow victory in your life, but don't set yourself also up in places where you're prone to fall into temptation. Declare in your life when the enemy tries to distract you, when he tries to trick you, say, no, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says? It says, the Lord says this, church, I am with you. I am all that you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Trust in him today. Happy is the person who doesn't give in and do wrong when he is tested. This is why you can look forward to the crown of life in heaven, which God has promised because you and I love him. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and trust in him. It is not a sin to be tempted. The second thing that you need to understand about temptation is this. If you're taking notes, you need to understand that you're never above temptation. You are never above temptation. You're never above temptation. I don't care who you are. You are not above temptation. This is verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Let me get right up in your business for a moment because I do that every now and then. If you're kicking back and going, this message is not for me. This one is definitely for my spouse. I'm so glad that so-and-so is here to hear this message. They're really struggling. They need some help. Listen, you may be the person who needs this message the most. The enemy will come at you at your weaknesses, but he'll also come at you at your strengths. How often do you see a great family guy who just loves his family, has a great job, ends up blowing it all because he made a dumb decision? How often do you see in the medical field nurses and doctors who know about prescription medicines and the effects that it can have and know about good health, they end up falling addicted to prescription medicines? Why? The enemy will come at you at your weaknesses. He'll also come at you at your strengths. See, and the reality is so many times in our life, we overestimate our strengths and we just think, I got this. I'm not addicted to that. I'm not on drugs. I'm good. But we overlook the sin that is so crept in our heart, and we're so bound by resentment, and we're so bound by bitterness, and we're so bound by anxiety, and we're so bound by depression, and we won't get free because we just have so much pride and confidence in our heart. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And listen, it's so easy, honestly, to just be like, I'm good. I'm in my walk with Jesus. I would never fall into this. I would never fall into that. Listen, we have no idea what we're really capable. Why? Because scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things. You and I, you know, before Christ, what we do, our sin has separated us, made us enemies to God. We are at wrath and at war with God until we come and profess faith in Jesus. The heart is deceitful above all things. We never know when we're going to be vulnerable. We never know what we're capable of. I'm going to say something today that may offend you. We are capable of the grossest sin given the right environment and temptation in life. All of us. That's why it's so important to go before the Lord daily and say, God, search my heart. Know me, God.
Know my thoughts. Know my affections. Know my emotions. Know where my heart is deceitful. Know me today. God, I surrender this back to you. I surrender where my motives are wrong. I surrender where my thoughts are wrong. Even though people didn't know what my thoughts were, God, I surrender them. They were not like you. Help me to align myself with what your word says. Number one, it's not a sin to be tempted. Number two, you're never above temptation. Number three today is this. We need to understand that God will never tempt you. God will never tempt you. I've heard people say before, God is tempting me. God is tempting me. No. God never tempts you. God will never tempt you. That is not God. God will test you, though. God will test you, but he will not tempt you. There's a difference. Why do you test someone? You're in junior high and you get your final exam. Why are you tested? You're tested to be promoted. You're tested to be moved forward. God will test you, but he will never tempt you. God tests you to move you forward. Satan tempts you to move you backwards. And there's a big, 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 big difference. God says today for us, I'm not gonna put you into a temptation of sin in front of you, but I will test you to build your faith. I will test you to see where your obedience lies. I will test you to see if your heart is first and foremost after me and me alone. I will test you to promote you into the kingdom of God and to greater blessings. In fact, James said this in James 1, verses 13. Here's what it says. Remember when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and God never tempts anyone else. Where does temptation come from? Temptation comes from our own desires. Our own desires. Maybe you're here today, you don't like what I've been saying the last couple minutes. You're saying, I disagree with you. I'm a good person, Pastor Dan. I'm a moral person. I come to church most of the time when the Eagles aren't playing at 1 o'clock. I'll serve if somebody asks me to serve. I help at the food bank, everyone. I am a good, moral, upright person. You're dead wrong. The Bible says you and I are bad, sinful people. And the Bible says that we're bent away from God. You know, the reality is you never have to teach a two-year-old to be selfish. All right, little Johnny, today's gonna be the lesson. You're 2 years old. I'm gonna give you a toy. And when I take it from you, I want you to shout, mine. You never have to teach a two-year-old to do it. Why? The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Temptation comes from desires within our hearts that entice us and drag us away. And so we say, I want this, I want that. And our heart gets bent away from the things of the Lord and bent away on sin and bent away on our flesh. And we say, I want this and I want that. And you know what happens when sin is allowed to grow? It gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. That's intense. That's a lot. Does anyone have a hard time handling that reality? But see, what I've found in my life is sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll make you pay a price that you were not willing to pay. Man, I'm thirsty. Is anyone else thirsty right now? Whew. I want to drink real quick just for a moment. Nice, refreshing water. You know, I love when you crack open a bottle of, I like Poland Spring water, but this water is pretty good too. This is pretty good. You know why? Because it's fresh. You know, when you crack that seal, you know that somebody hasn't messed with it or contaminated with it, right? It's good quality H2O. I hate drinking water from the sink. Is anyone else with me, right? All right, I guess I'm the only water snob today in the room, all right? So it tastes really good though. But here's the problem. Here's the issue, right? If I somehow, some way, somebody had tampered with this bottle ahead of time and sealed it up, and let's say they just put one drop of poison in it, just one touch, just one drop of poison in it, would you still drink this water? Even if it was sealed, you wouldn't drink it? Even if the water still tasted really good, you wouldn't drink it? Even if the water is 99% water and just 1% poison, you wouldn't drink it? So why would you allow even 1% of sin to take root in your heart? Every temptation in your life, if you don't get a hold of it, sin will lead you further than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll make you pay a price that you were not willing to pay. It promises satisfaction, but it costs obedience to God. You think this is going to be fun. This is going to spice up a relationship. It just helps me relax. It's how I let down. Well, everybody else is doing it. The hit, the buzz, it comes for a moment, and then it starts to unravel. It leads to death. It leads to destruction every single time. We have a church culture now, just not just our church, but the church as a whole in America. We have a generation of people now who just say, it's okay, though. It's just my one thing. You know what? The world says it's okay to live in this sin, so I'm going to do it anyways. Oh, you know what? It's just my personality. My Enneagram says I'm prone to anger, so I'm just going to operate that way. My Enneagram says that I could fall into addictions. I have an addictive. It's cool. I'm just like that. And we make excuses and compromises instead of what the Word of God really says. Can I camp on that for just one second? While personality tests are really useful, and they can help us better understand ourselves and others, listen, they never replace the Word of God. Rather than measuring our conduct against personality test results, let's measure ourselves first and foremost against what the Scripture says. God commands every believer to be patient, to show hospitality, to exhort one another, to be slow to anger. How about this one? To live above reproach. He doesn't tell only extroverts to show hospitality, and he doesn't only tell introverts to be slow to speak. In Scripture, God displays a plan for pervasive holiness for all of his people. The Bible commands a better benchmark, not by looking in our own lives and comparing them to somebody else, but looking to the Word of God and letting that be a reflection tool for how we should live our lives. Not what some personality test says is just a characteristic that is born within us. Listen, those are helpful tools. Those are great tools for understanding yourself and understanding others. But look to the Word of God. Why? God's will for your life is to be holy, to live for Him, to live for Him. I read this crazy thing. I don't know if you'll like it or not, but it really intrigued me. Martin Luther, the father of the Great Reformation, just massive theologian, he said these words: to be a theologian, you need three things. I'll read it this way to translate to our context. To be close to God today, you need three things. He said, you need prayer, you need meditation, and you need temptation. Come again? You need prayer, you need meditation, and you need temptation. To be close to God, to be a real theologian, to be really, really close to God, here's what he said. Meditation, you need prayer, hearing from God and talking to God. You need meditation, hearing from God, and you need temptation, learning to depend on God. Prayer, talking to God. Meditation, hearing from God. And temptation, learning to depend on God. Write this down. I believe this is really, really important today. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on the Lord. Every time, I'm going to say that again, every temptation is an invitation to depend on the Lord. When we are faithful, when we are tempted this morning, I'm thankful that our God is faithful. He will always give you and I a way out. Listen, some of you got big goals for your life in 2020. Some of you want to find freedom in some area. Some of you want to get rid of an addiction. Some of you want to pursue purity. Listen, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Have you created a system in your life that says, God, I will seek you and live for you first in 2020. Live for you as an audience of one. See, every time you're tempted to do whatever is disobedient to God, that's an invitation for you and I to depend on Christ. Because in your own fleshly desire and in my own fleshly desire, we do not have the ability to do that. And that's why what Martin Luther said is so good. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is hearing from God. And that's what makes this third part so important. Temptation builds our faith as we learn to depend on God. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on the Lord. He will test us. He does, but he wants to see first, are you obedient? But he will never, never tempt us. Satan comes to us through our own fleshly desires. And listen, if you think that you don't have them, you're not vulnerable and honest enough to get real about them. Number one, it is not a sin to be tempted. Number two, you're never above temptation. Number three, our God will never tempt you. And then number four, here's the truth lastly today about temptation. This is what we have to embrace. There is always a way out. There is always a way out. No matter what you're facing, no matter what gross sin has you hostage, no matter what small annoying thing about your personality that everybody knows about, that you know is sin and you want to get rid of, no matter what it is, there's always a way out. This is 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13. Our God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, Because you're going to be tempted, because we're all tempted, because we're all human beings. When you're tempted, what will our God do? He will always provide a way out. Well, what will your way out be? I don't know. It could look different for every single person this morning. But I'm here to tell you first and foremost, for some this morning, it may just be confessing it. Scripture says whoever confesses his sin to God will receive forgiveness. But it also says this, if you confess your sin to one another, you will be made whole. So I say it this way, we confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to each other for healing. That's why life groups are so important here at this church. Listen, we say that like you don't do life in rows, you do life in circles, but we really mean it. We want you to make friends. We want you to study God's word together and then find two or three people in that group who you can be honest enough with what you're sin and struggle is and find real community. Why? Because sin never can survive when it's exposed in the light. Be honest. Be real. We confess to God for forgiveness. We confess to each other for healing. It might be that your addiction is so bad. It might be that you need to go to rehab. That might be your next step from today's message. I need to take a next step. I need to go to rehab. I need to go to Teen Challenge. I need to check my place into a Christian facility. And I need to find healing, find freedom there. It may be. And I'm convinced that every single one of us in this room, despite what your role is, how long you've known the Lord, whether you're a pastor or a leader in ministry, all of us should probably have some sort of Christian counseling in our life. We have a great resource here at the church, a great Christian counseling program that we recommend that you can send people to. I would highly encourage you. Maybe you need to get through some of your wounds, some of your baggage, some of the junk that is holding you captive, and you need to go to Christian counseling and find freedom there. What will your next step be? I don't know. I'm just here to tell you, with Jesus, there's always a way out. There's always a way out. For some of you, lastly today, it's true repentance. Listen, I'm not talking about remorse. Remorse says, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance says, God, I'm sorry, I need your help. I need your grace. Whatever it is, listen, there is always a way out. Why is there always a way out? Our God is faithful, church. Our God is faithful. Every temptation is an invitation to depend upon Jesus, and God will always give you a way out. There's always a way out. And listen, when you fall, because we all will fall again, listen, he is right back there to pick you back up again and to help you on your journey. Don't fall just once and medicate sin with more sin. Turn back to Jesus because he's right there pursuing you anyways. Listen, you and you and me is weak. And you and me will get kicked in. And you is prone to temptation. But listen, Christ within you is stronger than the wrong desire in you. What is temptation? Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. You're gonna like this. You're gonna like the way it feels. It's gonna spice things up. It'll make life enjoyable. It'll help you forget some things. But listen, here's the good news. When we are weak and we are susceptible to temptation, that's where God's spirit is strong within us. The same power that conquered the grave is available and living and active for you in your moment of temptation. He's always there. He's always there. God is inviting you today, every time you're tempted, to trust Jesus to set you free. Because the good news is, our God is faithful. When you're tempted, he always gives you a way out. The way out is through his son, Jesus, who saw you and I at our worst, who saw you and I with every single sin we would have ever committed, past, present, or future, and said, I love you, and I see value in you. Listen, no matter what addiction you're caught in today, no matter what sin you're caught in today, he says, I love you. You have supreme value to me. You know what he did? He went and died for you on the cross so you could have freedom. I'll close with one last story today. There was an earthquake back in 1989, and it hit Armenia. There was over 30,000 people killed in just a matter of minutes. After an earthquake, the father left the safety of his home to go to high school, where he knew his son was at the time of the earthquake. Arriving at the building, which once was his son's school, he found it absolutely leveled from disaster. And in that moment, he remembered a promise that he made to his son. He said, son, when he's a little boy, I will never let anything happen to you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will always be there for you. And he said that through his son's life all growing up. The dad was devastated. He thought that his son had passed, but he looked at the pile of debris around this building and said, I have to do something. And so he starts digging.
He doesn't know what he's going to find. He doesn't know if his son is even alive, but he made a promise to his son. And so he says, I'm going to start digging. And so he starts digging, and some of the other parents have now arrived at the school, and they see what the dad is doing, and they said, we'll join in as well. We'll help you dig. Hours upon hours upon hours go by, and they have not found anybody. They haven't even found a body, dead or alive. And they're starting to get devastated, and they're starting to get upset. And the police come and they say, guys, it's really dangerous for you to be here. You really shouldn't be here. And all the parents leave, and the fire marshal comes up, and some other people come up a couple hours later, and they say, sir, you're the only person here. You really shouldn't be here. This is not a steady place, a stable place to be right now. Susceptible to the earthquake, what happened? There's still disaster that could happen in this area. It's not safe to be. We're so sorry your son is dead. We are so sorry. Anything we can do to help him this time, we want to be there. But the father would not leave. He would not give up on the promise that he made to his son. The father dug, true story, 40 hours at that school. And in the 40th hour, he was unable to move any longer. He could barely even lift up the shovel of what he was digging with. He heard one small voice that sounded like his son's voice. And the father dug, true story, and he pulled out his son in this moment, exhausted, lifeless, 40 hours of working. He pulls out his son and 13 other students who had lived and had made it through that moment. It's an amazing true story that the son and his friends get out, and the father overhears his son. The first words that come out of his mouth when he got pulled from the debris, he said, see, guys, I told you, my dad made me a promise that he would never leave us, and he followed through on it. Listen, when you're stuck in a mess, when you're stuck in sin, when you're stuck in anxiety, when you're stuck in shame, when you're stuck in depression and sin, God has already provided a way out. It was through his son, Jesus, who saw you at his worst, who saw you in your sin, who saw you in your shame. He said, I love you. I love you. I've called you. I've redeemed you. You can have purpose in life. I mean, come on and give Jesus some praise today. He saw you in your worst. He saw you in your sin. He said, I'll pull you from the muck. I'll pull you from the mire. I'll set your feet on the solid ground. Your best days, your most free days are in Christ.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.